Open your Bible to John chapter 15, please. We're going to be digging into the first 8 verses of this chapter as we continue our study of the I Am statements of the Lord. Remember what we are emphasizing as we're going through each of these statements. Jesus is the I Am. He's not the I was. He's not the, well, I wish I could be. Jesus is the present I Am. And in each of these, he is emphasizing the spiritual needs that he is ready and willing to meet in our lives. The setting here is on the night that Jesus was betrayed. We know that he and his disciples are in that upper room, and it has become a very somber occasion. They have observed the Passover. He's instituted the Lord's Supper. He has washed the disciples' feet, and he has told them, I am departing. I am leaving. And that's caused them some sorrow. That's caused them some confusion. And we dealt with that the last time we looked at this series. We were in John chapter 14 where Jesus said, I'm going away. In my Father's house are many mansions. I go to prepare a place for you where I'm going. You can't come now, but I will come to you and receive you, and there we shall be. And Thomas says, well, how do we know where you're going? How can we know that? And that's where Jesus gave the last I Am statement that we looked at, chapter 14, verse 6. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. That discussion continued, that teaching continued, where Jesus emphasizes that he is going away. And then they leave the upper room, the last verse of chapter 14. Arise, let us go from here. And as they're walking, making their way from that upper room in Jerusalem across the Kidron Valley to the garden, Jesus continued to teach. And the first thing that we have is the teaching that we're looking at here. John chapter 15, verses 1 through 8. I am the true vine. And my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that bears fruit, he prunes, that it may bear more fruit. You are already clean because of the word which I have spoken to you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine. You are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit, for without me you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he is cast out as a branch and is withered, and they gather them and throw them into the fire, and they are burned. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, you will ask what you desire, and it shall be done for you. By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit, and so you will be my disciples. Vineyards, grapevines, and grapes played a very important role in Israel. The word vineyard appears 71 times in the New King James Version of the Bible. In Psalm 80, God refers to Israel as a grapevine that has been transplanted from Egypt to Palestine. And in Isaiah chapter 5, through the prophet, God gives a parable of sorts in which he refers to or compares Israel to a disappointing vineyard. No doubt Jesus, when he gives his parable on that last week when he's in Jerusalem and he gives the parable of the workers in the vineyard, no doubt he is looking back to this parable and saying, you are that disappointing generation. The figure of a grapevine and a vineyard was common in these disciples' everyday lives and in their scriptures. And so as they're walking and Jesus says, I am the true vine, they would have known what he was talking about. They would have understood the figure. They saw it. They experienced it. They relied on it. It was a part of their scriptures. They understood what he was saying. In this illustration, The Father is the vine dresser. Jesus is the vine, and individual disciples are the branches. What is it that Jesus is saying about himself when he says, "I am the true vine"? Well, there is a special relationship between a grapevine and the branches of that vine. The branches are dependent on the vine. Look at verse 5 where Jesus says, "Without me you can do nothing." That's one of the things Jesus is emphasizing in this teaching. Yes, I'm leaving you, but you still need me. Without me you can do nothing. Well, the branches have to have the vine. What does the vine do for the branches? Well, first, it supports the branches. There is a special relationship there. Jesus supports us. Jesus gives us the strength and the encouragement that we need to continue serving him and to produce fruit. In Matthew 28 and at verse 20, Jesus gives the Great Commission. He sends these same men out into the world to make disciples, but he promises, "Lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age." There is that support. The Apostle Paul, one who was called out of due time, says, as we know very well, Philippians 4, verse 13, "I can do all things through Christ Jesus who strengthens me." So the vine gives support to the branches. The vine also gives life to the branches. That is that source of life. There's that connection there. That's made clear in verse 2. "Every branch in me that does not bear fruit he takes away, and every branch that bears fruit he prunes that it may bear more fruit." And down in verse 6, "If anyone does not abide in me, he's cast out as a branch and is withered." When you cut that branch off the vine, it dies. Why? Because the vine supplies the moisture that branch needs. The vine supplies the nutrients that branch needs to stay alive. Christ supplies that for us. As we think back to some of the other I am statements, he's the bread of life. He gives us that nourishment that we need. He's the light of the world. He gives us that life that we need. So he is that vine to our branch. Also with this is the ability to produce fruit. The branch cannot produce fruit unless it is connected to the vine. And as we've already pointed out in verse 5, "For without me you can do nothing." And then the fourth thing is that the vine gives the branch identity. The branches take on the nature of the vine. They look very similar. As a matter of fact, if there's leaves and there's grapes there, you've got to get pretty close to see which is the vine and which are the branches. And that's true of you and I as Christians today. We are to take on the nature, the character, the appearance of Christ. In the book of 1 John chapter 2 and verse 6, 1 John chapter 2 and at verse 6, "He who says he abides in him ought himself also to walk just as he walked." Or, as we know, when the Bible uses the word walk, often it's talking about live. We ought to live the way Christ lived. How can we do that? Well, let's spend some time in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And let's stay connected to the vine, and we'll see how he lived. And that's how we should live. In chapter 3 and verse 3, "And everyone who has this hope in him purifies himself just as he is pure." Jesus is holy. You and I, the more time we spend abiding in Christ, the holier we will be. What's interesting as we look at these I am statements, lay them out and look at them, there is a sense of dependence in every one of them. But there's also a distinction in them so far. Jesus is the bread of life, not us. Jesus is the light of the world. Now, we reflect that light. He said we're the light of the world, but not in the sense that he is. He's the shepherd. We're the sheep. But here in this figure, we are to be like him. We're dependent on him, but we're also like him. We are to be more Christ-like in our lives. So there's that relationship between the vine and the branches. What's the emphasis of this teaching? What is the big takeaway? As we look at the I am statements of Jesus, what I expect to see in each one of them is that the focus is going to be on Jesus. He's the bread of life. He's the light of the world. He's the door to the sheepfold. He is the good shepherd. He's the way, the truth, and the life. But when we come to this passage, Jesus is not the centerpiece. He is, but he's not the focus. He's not what is emphasized in this text. Instead, what is emphasized is what you and I, as his disciples, are expected to do. There's action that's the emphasis of this I am statement. There is our response. That's what gets the attention. Two things I want us to look at. First is Jesus saying that we must abide in him. Remember, a branch that is separated from the vine is going to wither and die. It has to maintain that connection in order to survive. Jesus, as we pointed out, Jesus has told them that he is about to leave them physically. He is going to depart, and where he goes, they can't come right now. They are going to be separated from each other, but that doesn't mean it's over. As a matter of fact, their work is just beginning. And the figure here of the vine and the branches is our Lord's way of explaining how they would be able to continue serving him. And not just to continue to serve him, but be fruitful in doing so in his absence. How's that going to happen? How's this going to continue? We're relying on you and you're going to leave? Jesus says, abide in me. As a matter of fact, I don't know if you caught it or not, but the word abide or abides with the S on the end of it appears 7 times in these 8 verses that we just read. I don't know about you, but when I'm reading a passage and the same word shows up 7 times, I think the Holy Spirit is trying to tell me something. And he is. He's emphasizing, what's being emphasized here is that we are to abide in that vine. As a matter of fact, as you go on to read the entire chapter, abide appears 11 times in the entirety of chapter 15. It is translated from the Greek word meno, which means to stay. To stay in a given place, state, relation, or expectancy. Another lexicon says that it is an inward, enduring, personal communion. That's a mouthful there, but there's the idea. In the context here, to abide means to maintain an unbroken connection with Christ, emphasizing the necessity of a constant, active relationship between the disciple and his Lord. And of course, that is maintained by us reading the words of Christ, reading the Bible, and praying. That's how we keep that connection there. But when we talk about abiding in Christ, and that is that connection that we have with Christ, just like that branch has to be connected to the vine, it's imperative that you and I as Christians remain connected with Christ. How many people don't know what this symbol means? I'm sure there's some. But I think most of us know what this symbol means. We very much live in a connected world. Our electronic devices that are internet capable have this little symbol, usually at the top right-hand corner. And what it does, it tells us that either we're connected to the internet or we're not. If you see this, it looks like a baseball field. If you see this, that means it's time to play ball. You have access. You can do it. If you only have one or two of these little arcs, then the strength is not, it's not there. If you've only got the dot at the bottom, you're not connected at all. Now, our devices, they can function in a limited way without the connectivity. But they cannot function the most efficient way. You and I, as disciples of Christ, we can't function at all spiritually. Unless it looks like this.
unless we are connected to Christ. That's what's being emphasized here in this text. Connectivity. We know it's important to keep our devices connected, but have we lost that sense of urgency in making sure that we are connected with Christ? We cannot be a disciple of Jesus without abiding in Him. And again, this is a continual action. It's not something that we do just one time. Okay, we come up out of the waters of baptism, we're connected, and that's going to stay there. No, that's something that we have to work on. Jesus is our lifeline, and we have to cling to Him. How do we stay connected with Christ? It's not something that God does entirely from His end, and we are just passive participants. It's not something that we're overpowered with, and it happens without our participation or even our consent. No, the Bible makes it very clear how we abide in deity. Jesus says here in the text, in verse 7, if you abide in me and my words abide in you. Notice we're talking about abiding, but Jesus has brought this element here, this specific point in. My words abiding in you. Verse 10, if you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love. Again, there's the word, there's the commandments. In 1 John chapter 3 and verse 24, now he who keeps his commandments abides in him, and he in him. So how does the branch stay in the vine? You and I stay in the vine. We stay connected by keeping the commandments. If you abide in my word, you are my disciples indeed, Jesus says in John chapter 8, verses 31 and 32. So, one thing that I get from looking at this text is the importance of abiding in Christ. He is that vine. He gives us that support, the nutrients that we need, the energy that we need. He gives us that, but we have to abide in Him, and we do so by abiding in His Word. But then the other imperative from our text is that we bear fruit. Bearing fruit is mentioned 6 times in this text. So we have abiding mentioned 7 times. We have bearing fruit 6 times in this text. The reason that you would plant a grapevine, and you wouldn't just go out and throw the seed in and when a few months you get grapes. No, this is something you commit yourself to. It takes a while for it to grow and for it to develop and for you to really be able to take grapes off of that vine. You wouldn't go through that work just to have a decoration out in the corner of the backyard. No, you want it to produce fruit. That's why you plant the grapevines. You and I are to be producing fruit. Now, that's not news to anybody, but let's talk for just a moment about the fruit that we are to bear. And the list I have here are places in the New Testament where the word fruit is actually used. One, we are to be making more disciples. Paul says in Romans chapter 1 and verse 13 that he wants to have fruit among them, just as he has among other Gentiles. The best fruit that we can bear is bringing others to Christ and making disciples. The generosity that we share. Later in Romans 15 verse 28, in talking about the collection that was being made to take back to the poor saints in Jerusalem, Paul referred to that as their fruit. The generosity that we show, the things that we give, the sacrifices we make for one another and for others, that's fruit that God is looking for. Our growth and development as followers of Christ, or put it this way, we're expected to produce the fruit of the Spirit in our lives. Galatians chapter 5, verses 22 and 23. We are to become more Christ-like. And as we cooperate with the Spirit through His Word, and we work on love and joy and peace and long-suffering and kindness and long-suffering and faithfulness and long-suffering, we all have the areas we have to work on more than others. But as God sees development there, He has seen fruit. He's seen fruit that we are producing. The worship that we offer to God, the praise that we give Him, is the fruit of our lips. Hebrews chapter 13 and at verse 15. And righteousness and peace is sown by those. In James chapter 3 verse 18, who are following not the wisdom of the world, but the wisdom that is from above. The fruit of righteousness and peace is sown by those who make righteousness and peace. And in this world that we live in today, we need this fruit. We need to be producing this fruit. That's what Jesus is looking for. Here's something else about this particular I am statement and the fact that we are to bear fruit. More than in any of the other I am statements, this figure emphasizes the involvement of God the Father more than any of the others. And there's a reason for that. Now here, you know, Jesus says, I am the true vine, my Father is the vine dresser, and immediately talks about what the Father does. Think about this. Jesus is about to leave them. They have been with Him, they've been following Him, they've been counting on Him for 3 years. He's about to be gone. They are going to have to learn how to rely on the Father just like they have been seeing Him rely on the Father for the past 3 years. How many times have they seen and heard Him praying unto the Father? How many times have they heard Him talk about, my Father and I are one and I'm doing my Father's will? What they saw in Jesus clearly was a man who was depending on the Father. And Jesus says, I'm going to leave you, but I'm leaving you in the hands of the Father. You're going to have to rely on Him. So what is it that the vine dresser does for them and for us? Well, for one, He inspects the branches. God knows what's going on with every child of His. God knows what's going on in every local church. God inspects the branches and He removes the unfruitful branches. If it's not bearing fruit, the Father removes it. And that allows more nutrients for the fruitful branches. In verse 6, remember, if anyone does not abide in Me, he's cast out as a branch and is withered, and they gather them and throw them into the fire, and they are burned. We have followed Jesus enough. We know what that's talking about. We've heard Him say that before by this time in His ministry. That's talking about punishment and hell fire. In doing some more study for this, I ran across a writer, a commentator, who made this observation. I thought it was very interesting. Branches are good for one of two things: bearing or burning. That's pretty blunt, isn't it? That's pretty blunt, but sometimes Jesus gets blunt. Like when He says, if the salt loses its savor, it's not even good to be thrown on the manure pile. That's pretty blunt. This is pretty blunt as well, and we need to take it to heart. I'll bear fruit when I get around to it. There's a vine dresser who's looking and watching. Good for bearing or burning? Let's make sure we are abiding in the vine and we are producing fruit. He prunes the fruitful branches so that they will bear more fruit. And that's just a part of raising a good crop. And having a plant or a vine be as productive, or a tree be as productive as it possibly can. We need to prune ourselves, but when we don't, God will prune us. We'll go through some sufferings. We'll suffer some loss. And we'll find out, yeah, we really didn't need that in our lives. We needed that pruning. And God answers our prayers in verse 7. Ask what you will. Your prayer will be answered. Here's one more thing that is worth noting as we're in this passage. That is that it shows a development in the yield that we produce in our fruit. In verse 2, talks about those who are bearing fruit. They're pruned so that they will bear more fruit. And then by verse 5, bearing much fruit. This is what we want to see in our gardens. It's what we want to see in anything that we are working on to make it produce more. But it's what God wants to see in us. Now, I want to make this observation. Sometimes when a person becomes a Christian, they get started, one of the things that can discourage them is that they're not able to do everything that everyone around them is doing. We live in a very impatient world. Did you catch long-suffering? We live in that kind of a world, and it can be difficult. That impatience can really set in with some people. We start out as babes in Christ. You know who understands that? God understands that. And so at the beginning, we're going to be doing good to just produce the minimal amount of fruit. But as time goes on, we've developed some Christian disciplines. We're abiding in Christ. We're growing. We're going to produce more fruit. We're going to produce much fruit. That's just the way God made it. That's the way God made it in His physical world. And that's the way it works in the spiritual realm as well. Bearing fruit, verse 8, bearing fruit brings glory to God, and it proves that we are genuine disciples of Jesus. As the true vine, Jesus sets Himself apart from others who would offer to provide for us spiritual support and nourishment and care and fruitfulness. But Jesus alone provides these things in the way that we need them. In Jesus, we have our identity. We're Christians. We have our support. We have our life. We have our nourishment. But we have to abide in Him. Let's stay connected with Christ, and let's produce fruit to God's glory. Let us pray. Our Father in heaven, we are thankful for the day that You've given us. We're thankful for the time that we've had to spend at the feet of Your Son, listening to Him as He teaches Your truth. As spring comes upon us and we see things grow and another fruitful season begin, help us to remember these lessons, that we must stay connected and abide in the true vine, and that we must produce fruit to Your glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.